am out country. It's time to dance.
Larkin for three. Got it.
From Shanahan again. She scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner with half a second to go and the Cats win.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome in to Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin. Great to have you with us on this Saturday morning, live in town on WVMT, or if you're catching up with us on the Varsity Network app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're finding us. Great to have you for another exciting episode, episode 10 of our season. There's so much going on at this point around Burlington, around Catamount country. The students wrapped up classes for the semester yesterday. Next week is final exams week, and then it's off for the holiday break. We've got a really fun show coming up for you, though. First up, I'm joined by associate head coach of the men's soccer team, Brad Cole. We've had Brad on our show before, and at the time last year when we talked, it was much more about his background and being a local guy and going to school at UVM, leaving the team, coming back to the team, and then returning to the team as a coach. But he and head coach Rob Dow have built a juggernaut. They play in the Elite Eight, the round of eight, the second to last round before the College Cup in the NCAA tournament. Really fun game coming up on Saturday. That's later today. 3 o'clock start time against Pitt. Brad's going to give us a great recap of the win over San Diego. That was last weekend, and then kind of gives us a week or a day-by-day walkthrough of what this week looks like for the Catamounts as they battle the Pitt Panthers. Then I'm joined by Hallie Laney, who's another returning guest. You might remember Hallie as a swimmer and diver from the America East Championship winners a year ago. Well, she just had an outstanding weekend a few weekends ago at this point, but at the URI Invite, which the Catamounts won for the fourth consecutive year, Hallie was a part of five different winning races, including two relays. She also set a UVM varsity record in her best event, the 200 fly. So there's a lot to talk to with Hallie about, and she always tells some great stories, gives us good kind of insight into what this team looks like this year, and talks about some of their goals over the course of the winter as well. So stick with us. We've got a great show ahead. This is Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt. Welcome back to Catamount Insider, here with associate head coach on the men's soccer team, Brad Cole, joining the show. We had Brad on last year, and now kind of going into the NCAA tournament dive here. They're on to the Elite Eight, the round of eight in the NCAAs. And coach, thanks so much for joining us. We're ahead of the matchup with Pittsburgh coming up this weekend off the big win against San Diego. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. It's a good time of year, and we're still playing, so I cannot complain.
I was going to say, still playing some soccer. The post that was making the rounds yesterday, your team over the last 3 years has won eight NCAA tournament games. I know you've only been back with the program the last two seasons, but I just want to ask, what do you think goes into all this postseason success that Coach Rob Dow has built, and we've had Coach on this year as well? But for you, what do you think's been the biggest key over the last couple of seasons in these tournament runs?
I think the big thing is that we are – I want to be humble when I say this, but we're expecting to be here. Like, we expect this of ourselves, and we're not surprised at our success. And I think that's a big part of just kind of making it normal for ourselves and having high expectations. And again, just not being surprised by it and just trying to enjoy it and work really hard and make it sort of a constant thing.
Coming off the 1-0 win in overtime against San Diego. Tell me about the game as we look back at it as a whole. Kind of at times it felt choppy. San Diego had spells of possession. You guys had then some spells playing on a grass surface for the first time in a while. You guys go all the way across the country. Kind of recap it for me just as a whole. What do you feel like looking back on the game?
Yeah, I'm really proud of the team, first and foremost, for getting the win. I think it was a really challenging place to play for a variety of reasons. I think they had over 3,000 fans. The field is pretty narrow compared to our field, and it's a little shorter, which creates complications. And then the field itself is just – it's a really fast-playing surface. It's grass, which we're not used to. It's just a really hard place to play. And I think that shows in San Diego's success over the last 3 years. I've been to that place before, and I think when I went there last time, my team, we were down 3 goals in 15 minutes. Just the speed of the game was really fast, and I didn't tell the guys before that that had happened previous, but I told them we got to start fast. But yeah, I think in general, it is a really hard place to play. The San Diego team as well, like, they're really well coached. They have really good players. They have a really good team culture. Like, you know, it's just a tough game. Like, so again, I'm just really proud of our team for getting the result. It was not easy. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, like, our guys, you know, won their individual matchups when needed, made big plays when needed. And, you know, I don't think it was the prettiest game to watch for anyone.
I would agree.
Yeah. But in the tournament, especially for us being on the road, traveling that far, like, right. It's not up to us to make it pretty. It's up to us to just get a result. And that's what we did.
Yeah. So early on in the game, Nicholas Hurtsegg makes a couple of big saves, and it feels like San Diego playing a back five. They have a great defensive record. Felt like they were kind of likelier to score throughout much of that opening kind of segment and portion of the game. What were your reactions early as you guys have controlled so many of the games that you guys have won over the year? But just kind of take me into that, the first segment of things as San Diego do come out on the front foot.
Yeah, I mean, we knew they were going to have some control of the ball. We knew, you know, they would switch the ball, and they have guys that are really dangerous shooting from distance. Mm-hmm. But we also felt really confident that with our back line and goalkeeper and midfielders, like, and whole team defending, like, if teams are going to be shooting from distance, like, we're honestly okay with that. Mm-hmm. We'd rather that than teams obviously getting close to goal. So some of those shots, I mean, we see Nicholas save those every day in training. Like, not really concerned if people are shooting from there, if I'm honest. We have complete confidence in him to make those saves. So yeah, like, it's a little nerve-wracking, of course, but based on how we defend and what we saw, we weren't super concerned with any of those chances early. And the thing for us is we grow into games. We're really fit. We have really good depth. And we knew as long as we were in the game, we were going to create a chance or two. So, yeah, like, we weren't overly concerned, I should say.
Well, what were the things you were doing to try to break them down then as the game goes on and you guys were using, as you said, that depth and that bench you have? What were the things you were trying to implement to try to find that go-ahead goal?
Yeah, in the first half, we kind of played the same way we've been playing in terms of our attacking system. In the second half, we changed, went to more of a two-striker system. Mm-hmm. Which was kind of what we were using last year all season. So our guys are pretty familiar with it. And we made that change, and I think we grew into the game. I think the last 20 minutes of the second half, we were probably at our best and on top of things. And, you know, we felt really good about that. But, yeah, like, honestly, like, it was hard for us to get a lot of control of the ball. So we weren't building attacks that much. It was more we were being a little more disruptive in the second half and able to counter a little bit. And San Diego's set up to be in control of games. Their three center backs stay home for the most part. The wing backs are really dynamic. Their midfielders are good ball winners, and they kind of just let the front three flow and run in transition and attack. And they don't really, the front three for them don't defend. So it's different than any team we've played this year. And I think it took us some time to kind of figure out in the rhythm of the game, how to attack. And we definitely grew into it.
And then kind of as that second half wears on, Sidney Wathuta leaves the game. Adrian Schultz-Solano, Mike Bleeker, three of the guys you have relied on all year have to leave the game late. What were kind of the reactions then to that as you have to go, again, to that bench and that depth that you mentioned is a strength? But I know if you could prefer to have three guys out there, Sidney and Adrian and Bleeker would be three of those guys.
Yeah, of course. I think, when you're in the moment, like it didn't change our confidence at all. We were very confident with the guys going onto the field. We Hannah, our trainer, has done a great job getting Nathan Simeon and Yanni mm-hmm. Vasiliou back. Mm-hmm. So we had depth at fullback again. It was a little concerning just with them not having played in a few weeks. Sure. Just like they've been training well, but obviously it's a game. You're going to get a little tired in a game. But they played phenomenal. I think they were two unsung heroes in the day just by coming back and, as I said, just playing really well if they're not being in matches for a couple weeks. And then, yeah, like guys like Ryan coming off the bench to fill Sydney's role, and then he's the one who drew the penalty for the winner. So, again, for us, we didn't lose any confidence. We were – just, you know, we wish we had everyone. Hopefully those guys are fit for the weekend for the next match. And regardless, like, we have plenty of guys who are ready to step in. In college soccer, like, with how many games there are, the key is to have two really good players in each position. And that obviously has it raises the level in training, and it also allows you to have a few little injuries or cramps or whatever you're dealing with on the day. And if you don't have that, you're not going to win these types of games.
Yeah. Ryan Zellifro, I got a text from somebody who's casually watches soccer but is more of a basketball person, and they say, this guy's James Harden. He's just drawing fouls the entire game. That happens before then. He draws the penalty kick in overtime. Tell me about this young freshman who has been a starter for much of the year, and this game he's used as a reserve and has become such an integral piece to the team.
Yeah, he's had a really good first season. He's a top player. He's a really hardworking kid, has good technical ability, very high IQ, can keep the ball, draws fouls when needed. And I think the biggest thing, and it's something we try to identify with players that we recruit, but like he's not fazed by the moment whatsoever. Like you know, he's just having fun. He's just trying to play his game. Yeah. He's not concerned with the moment, you know. And I think that goes back to the whole team in general. I think the older guys do a good job of like not putting too much pressure on anyone, and it's just like we just need to go out and compete and enjoy ourselves, and Ryan's a good example of that as a first year.
Tell me about the play then when he wins the penalty. It happens right away in overtime. You could have missed it if you weren't paying attention. Just walk me through kind of what you saw there.
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly, it was kind of funny. I was loving it on the bench. I thought we had our best spell of soccer in the first 30 seconds of that overtime, and I was yelling that from the sideline right before we got the penalty. Like, this is good football. It's what we needed to be doing. But yeah, I mean, they took the kickoff, they gave it to us. We marched down the field and got the penalty. I think, it was the right call. It was definitely a penalty. There's no question about that. And then I was a little nervous and excited just in the moment, but we knew Bozzi was going to score. There's nothing, no real question there.
I was going to ask you. Yaniv Bazzini, of course, is the guy. I don't think anybody was surprised to see him immediately go and grab the ball. Of course, then they go to say on the broadcast, he's 0-for-1 on the year in penalties, which, of course, then reminds everybody that he has missed the only one he's taken. But he's your leading scorer, and he's been on a great run here in this NCAA tournament. Just tell me about kind of what you see as he's standing over the ball getting ready to take the penalty kick.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego's goalkeeper is a top goalie, so obviously there is pressure involved, and it's a big moment, but
sure,
that's what Bozzi's made for. He steps up, and look, he was 0-for-1, I guess. You know, I didn't even know that, but he was 0-for-1, I guess, but like we watch him in training, he's probably 999 for 1,000 on the year, so it's all good. There was zero nerves, just really waiting for him to score.
There is so much experience on this team. Bozzi's one of them. He's played in so many of these big NCAA games. We mentioned earlier Adrian Schultz-Solano and then Zach Barrett, Max Murray, and others. What does that provide for your team when these guys have played and won so many NCAA tournament games in their career?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what I was saying before, where it's not a surprise that we're here. You know, they're not awed by the moment. Anyone we play, we understand they're going to be really good, and you know, we're really good, and it's going to be a game of fine margins. And as long as we stay in the game, we have a chance. And I think those guys just bring a poise and a calmness to things that's really important. We're trying to do the same as a staff. And I think for us, like, we're just trying to raise the expectation level and not be, you know, surprised. We don't need to be all rah-rah about how we're here and we're this or that. It's just like, we're a good team. We're going to keep playing well. Those guys are the foundation of things. And you know, we've had so many players over the years, like before even this group, that have had really good blue collar, hardworking values, really big team guys. And, you know, as we found more success, all those values, all those lessons have continued to get passed down. And like now it's Zach and Yaniv and Max and Cole Richardson and tons of other guys that are on the team that are older who have been here, and they understand just what it takes to be successful, and that, you know, they're passing that on to the next group as well. And it's just really good to see, you know, but those guys are going to be sorely missed, obviously, when their time here is done. But they've just been phenomenal players and people, and they can't say enough good things about them.
Tell me about this week. You guys, I know, had a long travel day back from San Diego. You have to go to Pitt. We're the number two overall seed in this tournament. How do you try to, A, prepare for Pitt, B, make sure everybody's rested and trying to get as healthy as he can, and C, still try to get some touches on the ball and make sure everybody's staying fresh?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing to start the week is just rest. I think the travel day back from San Diego was brutal, to say the least. So guys need to sleep. Guys need to get their legs, get off their legs a bit. For us, as long as we're healthy and mentally in the right spot, we're going to be fine. Not overly concerned about training hard, or we just need to be really focused. And there's a few things we need to execute against Pitt, and we need to focus on those and make sure guys feel good, feel their bodies are in the right place. And, I don't really have any concerns about how we're going to perform. We're going to perform well. It's just a case of, on the day, does the ball go in the net for us more than them?
It has been going in the back of the net more than the other team for you guys recently. Tell me about the confidence in the goal scoring ability that you guys have. And especially over, it just feels like the last month, I know, just the one goal against San Diego, but it's felt like you're finding a way to score multiple goals just about every game.
Yeah, I think we're uniquely built to play against a variety of different teams. We have guys who can score off set pieces, obviously. We have guys who can score on their own in isolation. If we're able to get a lot of crosses, we have threats from there. And, when you have guys like David Ismail scoring a goal like he did against Hofstra.
Can we talk about that real quick? All right. Tell me just, what did you see on that play? Walk me through your viewpoint of it, because it's one of the best goals I've ever seen.
Yeah. As a coach, I mean, Rob and I were talking. We were like, that's the best goal we've been a part of. Maybe you could say you've seen better goals, but it's really, that's like as good as it gets for the most part. It was just a special finish. I don't know. It's one of those goals that in the moment you're just kind of in a flow state and you see the ball and you're reacting to everything. And I think the most important thing is that you have to have players who aren't afraid to do that. Like, the reality is you could try to do that and put the ball in the parking lot and look like, the crowd's, yelling at you because you look silly. Or it can do, you can do a great thing and score a great goal. And so I think for us, we just need to have guys who are willing to put themselves on the line like that and kind of just express themselves. And obviously, I mean, that was a worldie.
You do have all this. Let's talk about the depth then briefly. So many different guys have scored a variety of goals this year, as we were just discussing. Is that hard at all, though, for you to then pick who to go to in certain spots? And tell me about just the idea of trying to mix and match who's out there when, and based on what formation you're trying to play and how you're going to break different teams down, about picking who's out there at certain times.
Yeah, it's really difficult, to be honest. I think it's the hardest thing we're having to do right now. Going back, there's just a lot of guys that are starting and are not starting that all deserve it. I think if you asked every player and every coach, what should the lineup be? Who should be on the field? I think you'd get 50 different opinions, because it's everyone has an argument. So the thing for us is we want to make sure everyone feels valued and make sure everyone understands they're going to play a role. Like, I remember in the San Diego game, we started the second half with Ryan and Marcel on the bench, who both had played well in the first half, both have started a lot of games and had big moments for us. And, I just told them, you guys are going to go on and win us the game. So, just be ready. You're just getting a little breather and you're going to win us the match. And they did. And I think, a lot of guys are willing to play their role. They understand that, we have a lot of good players and they're going to have to rotate at times. And the biggest thing for us is just trying to figure out what the game needs and who has chemistry together that can provide what the game is calling for in that moment. So yeah, we don't always get it right, but we try to find the right recipe. And I think when we do, I think you see the results.
Andrew Miller, the right back. Tell me about kind of being forced to play him there with those injuries you talked about earlier, Fasilio and Simeon both missing some time in this NCAA tournament. What was that like for Miller, and how much trust did you have in him when you had to put him back there?
Yeah, I think Andrew can play pretty much any position. he just like is able to adapt himself really, really well. I think in the Hofstra game, it was a huge task to ask him to do that. Simply due to how Hofstra plays and Andrew not having played there much. But we had tons of confidence in him. He went 90 minutes, I believe. The second half was like a lot of work for him. And it was a challenge, but like he got the job done. The ability for like a guy like Andrew and other guys that we have to like in, these aren't like small games. Like these are very big games, very high stake moments. And for them to rise to the occasion and play, I don't think it's out of position, but play a different position. It speaks volumes to like who they are as people and their confidence level. And then to the team as well, to like support them. And, you know, it's not going to be, no matter who plays any position, it's never perfect, and that's fine. And guys just are out there competing, giving their best. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about his performance.
Just to wrap up then with one thought about Pitt, what stood out to you in your preparation for obviously a team who's won a lot of games this year and they've scored a lot of goals? Like you said, any team you play at this point in the year is going to be a really quality side. But what has kind of stood out to you in your preparation for them?
Yeah, I think, they're very good on the ball. They're very good in possession. They have very good ideas of what they're trying to do with the ball. They have just a lot of guys who are reliable in possession. I think they're really well coached. It's going to be a big game. I'm very confident in our guys, and we're going there to win. I think it'll be a battle. It's going to be a fun watch. I know, like, when I was at Portland, we played there in the Elite Eight. When I was at Portland, we played at San Diego. I feel like I'm on a revenge tour right now because I did lose both those games. So I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be there with our guys, and it'll be fun for anyone watching. It's definitely going to be a two contrasting styles. It's going to be a battle of wills.
Saturday at 3 p.m., Catamount Country behind you, Coach. Thanks so much for joining us this week on Catamount Insider, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks again to Brad for joining us this week. He's always great to talk to, isn't he? And I wanted to have him on, and I was saving him for later in the season, folks, as you might have guessed, for one of these really big games to break down. And I thought he gave some really insightful comments about what it was like playing against San Diego. And again, he's got experience against both San Diego and against Pitt coming up this weekend when he was over as the associate head coach at Portland. And so it's a really exciting time for Brad, as he is kind of, he might have mentioned it there, a bit of a revenge tour for him personally. But big game coming up this weekend against Pitt, of course, in the NCAA round of eight. The final eight teams in the country remaining. A trip to the College Cup is on the line. Again, if you're listening with us live on Saturday, that game gets started at 3:00 Eastern time. So make sure you head on over to ESPN Plus, check that game out. I know they're having watch parties in and around Burlington as well. So make sure you tune in and root on the Catamount men's soccer team, who are in the middle of just an incredible run. Stick with us now as we take another break. Hallie Laney of the swimming and diving team joins the show when we return. This is Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt. Welcome back to Catamount Insider, here with Hallie Laney of the swimming and diving team at UVM, coming off a fourth consecutive win at the URI Invite. Hallie, we're ahead of the trip down to UConn for you guys this weekend. How are you today, and how's the season been going so far?
It's been going great. Thank you so much for having me back on Catamount Insider. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course. Great to have you back. There's so much ground to cover, but let's start with kind of the most recent event, URI. The team gets its fourth straight win at this event, and I know it's one that you guys really take seriously every year and want to use it as kind of one of those big peak weeks for everybody. How'd you feel like it went for the team as a whole? And obviously, it's great to get a big win.
Yeah, it was really well. It was really fun to see everybody tapered and see what they could do when they were rested, because we really had a hard fall of training. We had a lot of meets back to back. And so everybody was definitely very worn down and really working hard. So seeing what they could do rested was super exciting and just made me pumped up to see what people can do when we rest even more for conference in February. And overall, I'm just so proud of everyone. Everyone was super positive the whole weekend. It's a bit of a tough weekend right before you're going home for Thanksgiving. I know a lot of the freshmen were really homesick and things like that. So that's always like tough, but honestly, everybody was really just amped to be there, and it was super exciting for sure.
I wanted to ask you about this time of year. We'll get back to some of those results from URI, but there's finals coming up. You have Thanksgiving, like you just mentioned, this obviously really big event, and then you have a couple more events before the AmeriCeast Championships. What's this all kind of like? There's a lot going on for college students this time of year, plus you guys have this event that you really want to perform at.
Yeah, it definitely is a hard time for student athletes. Yeah. But I can't imagine, obviously, like basketball and soccer, they've been traveling this entire time. So we're lucky that we have been here and still are able to focus a little bit on school. But yeah, we're definitely getting right back into it, still working hard this week. And we're heading into our training trip in Florida in a couple weeks, and that's a lot of really hard training, but you're in the sunshine, so it makes it a little bit better. But yeah, it's definitely back to the grind, back to focusing on our goals. Definitely URI gives you a sense of kind of like, okay, this is where I'm at. We all have individual meetings with the coaches and are like, okay, like what do we need to adjust so we are where we want to be in February for us individually, and then also like as captains and leaders, we're working on like where we want the team to be. Sort of that.
Sure.
Vibe.
No, that makes total sense. So I guess then I'll ask you, what was that meeting like for you and the coaches, and what are the things that you're really focused on over the next little stretch?
Yeah, I think just like continuing to elevate my training. I think like I'm definitely kind of like, oh my gosh, this is it. As a senior, I like really just want to go out with a bang and see what I can do. And so I've really feel like this fall really been trying to elevate my training, and I just want to continue going into that. A lot of it honestly was us looking at things that in the races at URI that maybe weren't the best, and different things. Like I definitely want to close better in my two fly, kind of get that time down. So we're thinking about specific training pieces that can, kind of work toward my goals and different things like that. And just looking to like what training we need to adjust and, all that.
Okay, well, you say you want to get the 200 fly time down. You set a UVM varsity record in the 200 fly. We're gonna start with that then. I've got five races that you were a part of that you were part of a winning either team or individual result. So a very successful event then, I think. Is that fair to say for you? You feel like it went really well individually?
Yeah, I would say definitely went pretty well individually. I think it's sometimes hard for like people looking at swimming times, like you'll see like, oh, they got first or like they won, or someone got like fifth, but that was their best time by 3 seconds. And maybe I got first, but it wasn't my best time. So it's sort of a little bit tricky to sometimes like just look at swimming results quickly. But yeah, it definitely was very successful, and I'm proud of my times, and yeah. But also like I'm very much just like, okay, like how can I be better next time? You know, that's always my mindset, honestly, to just always be continuing improving, never settling. And I think that's definitely the mindset of the team. We're always just like, okay, how can I get better after practices, during practices? I know that was definitely the mindset of the team, especially with these prelims finals meets where you swim once in the morning, and then if you are in the top 30, you get another chance to swim again. So and at URI, we do have a lot of people make finals. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely like after your morning swim, you're like talking to the coaches, okay, what can I do better tonight? And that's like definitely always on everyone's mind. And it's super motivating to see everybody just wanting to get better at night. And a lot of people do drop time again at night. And so it's really exciting.
Okay. So you won the 200-yard medley relay, the 200 free relay, which was a meet and pool record, 100 fly, which was a meet record, 200 IM. And then I mentioned the 200 fly, which was a UVM varsity record, pool record, and meet record. but then I'll ask you this, which of those races did you feel like you swam really well? Which was the one that stood out of like, yeah, that was a really good time for me?
I would say my 200 fly final. Swim. I definitely, having the 200 fly on the last day of a 4-day meet is actually the worst thing ever. Sometimes
I believe that.
It really is a grind, but having all the girls that I train with every single day, also doing the two fly, and it's also the last event of the day. Also, why would they do that? Yeah. But you know, it's fine. We deal with it and we do our best. But definitely that final swim that night, there's another person on URI, who beat me last year, and she had the pool record. And I definitely wanted to go out there and do my best. And I definitely sometimes have like some anxiety when there's someone right there with me and I have to race, especially in a long race ride, the two fly, where you're honestly just trying to get to the wall. And you're like, I cannot focus on someone else right now. I need to focus on myself. So I definitely was going into that night. I definitely was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on what I can control in between my lanes, execute this race how I know how to execute it. And I did, and I was really proud of myself. So ready to go and do it again in February.
It sounds like a good plan to me. Tell me about trying to work on the finish then. What are you really dialed in on it and how you can improve that? Is that a mental thing? Is there something physically that you can train to try to really even take more time off? Where is the time going to be shed from?
Yeah, I think something I've been really working on this season is my underwaters and my turns. Definitely coming into college, I had horrendous turns, so I've been really working on that. And so definitely just continuing to work on that, but also just doing a lot of pace work and just reps. That's really all it comes down to, is like getting your body stronger so you can hit time after time for those 450s where you're trying to be slow and controlled in the beginning, and also be able to bust it out at the end. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So that's clearly an event that just sounds painful. Yeah. what event is fun? What's the one that you just like get fired up and are so excited for and have the most fun in when you're at these events?
I think honestly, my 2 AM is like definitely my fun one. Fly can be sometimes stressful and anxiety inducing because I just want it to be perfect. But the 2 AM is definitely my fun vibe. I think it's like really special that I can be really fast at 4 strokes. I'm really proud of myself that I've been able to achieve that. So, getting to work on that and practice it a little bit all the time is super fun. And again, the girls that we train with for 2 AM have been super awesome. And I think we had three people in the A final in that event, which was super exciting and super fun, to be with them. And it's the first day. I always just get super hyped, but I also think the relays, those are my favorite by far. I think we talked about this last time.
I remember.
But definitely those relays are my favorite. And a lot of times it's like the same people, like Fazio and I are both in the medley relays, and then we'll swim in the free relays freestyle and stuff. So it's super fun to do that with them. You're just so hyped behind the block. And I definitely like give it my 112% because I have that extra, because I'm swimming for them. And yeah, just getting to the wall, because it scores extra points for the team. It's more points when it's 4 people. And just wanting to get someone else ahead. So if they're diving in after you, if you're the last person, all that. It's just very motivating, super hype.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the team as a whole, because obviously coming off such a successful year last year, America East champions. And obviously there are differences from a year-to-year basis, right? You lose seniors, you bring in freshmen, obviously. It's how college athletics works. But I'm curious about, there are so many performers back from a year ago that put up big performances in the America East and throughout the year. I don't want you to necessarily compare the two teams, but just tell me about where this team's at as far as kind of the ability to perform and feel like you guys can go for another conference championship.
Yeah, I really think this team is in an incredible spot. I think all the freshmen that came in have really added a lot to the team. They all have wonderful work ethics, incredible positive attitudes. I'll give a shout out to Emma Freer. She was my roommate at this meet.
No way.
And she also did really well in the 2 fly and the 2 AM and the 4 AM. And she's just been incredible to train with and definitely a great addition to our 2 fly group. And I'm so excited to see what she does moving forward. But a lot of the other freshmen also went best times and were just absolute lights on deck and wonderful to be around every single day in practices. But yeah, I think as a whole, we've a lot of everyone, like I know my class has matured a lot through the 4 years, and we're definitely, I think, in a good spot to put our best foot forward. But at the end of the day, honestly, like I'm so proud of the team and like, how we've handled the season. I think we really have not been focusing on the championship. We've been focusing on getting better every single day and just being the best teammates for one another and working on ourselves so we can be the most supportive, fun group of people to be around. And honestly, that's all that matters to me. Like, if this is my senior season and this is the team that like we've been able to lead, I think that's enough for me. I don't need a championship to honestly just be so proud of where we're at. And I think I'm just so excited to see how much closer we grow in the next couple months as we continue to train. And I'm really just so grateful this is my senior team. I can't talk enough about them. I love them all so much.
Okay, let's talk about the next few months then. Well, you mentioned the trip to Florida. There are a couple actual events you'll be swimming in, of course. But kind of take me through how you are, I'm sure at this point, game planning for the conference championships and when you're going to be having those really tough weeks and when you might be taking a step back. How does that work, and how much is it just about communication with the coaches and kind of what you want to achieve, what they want to achieve? And I'm just curious about how you kind of map out the next few months of your work.
Yeah, definitely. It's putting a lot of trust in the coaches and knowing that they know what we need going into it. And but also still communicating with them and letting them know, hey, I'm having a really tough day because of XYZ thing, that my work might not be at where it normally is today or whatever. That's definitely something we're working on as a team. Just kind of giving your 100% for that day. It might not look the same for everyone, but we trust that everyone is giving their all for that day. But yeah, it's going to be a grind, but we're ready for it. And, I have no doubt that we're going to, be able to put in the work that we need to do.
So then I'll ask you this, just as far as when is the next time that you're going to get like a break, or is it, we're going really getting after it in the pool for the next month, 2 months? I'm curious about kind of when your next, you mentioned the taper leading up to URI. Is it really, you're going to be getting after it right up until the conference championships, or is there going to be a break there for you?
Yeah. Starting like at the beginning of February, kind of like 2.5 weeks out, we'll start to go down. We won't have two a days. The length of practice will kind of go down, and you're still it's like less volume, but you're still going fast, but maybe on more rest. That's kind of what a taper is. So, that'll start at the beginning of February, kind of going down to mentally preparing yourself and physically preparing yourself to do your absolute best, in February. But in terms of breaks, yeah, we're not getting any until then. And, yeah, it's going to be a grind, but we got this.
What goes on the trip to Florida? Walk me through just kind of how that works and what you're really hoping to accomplish with that.
Yeah, it's definitely a really fun, like, team bonding moment. Everybody, you, like, room with three other people and you get to cook your meals together in the hotel and things like that. And we're doing something twice a day, every single day. So maybe it's not a swim, but we're lifting or we're doing a dry land or different things like that. So our strength comes with us and all of that. Yeah. It's definitely a really fun time. I always have a great time. We're swimming outside. I love swimming outside. And
not much of that up here.
Not much of that up here, but you know, it's all right. It's a trade off, but, yeah, it's definitely, a hard time, but it's just so fun to be with your teammates 24/7. A lot of the time I feel like I'm here at the pool with my teammates in the morning and then I go off and do classes and I'm all around campus and I don't really see them because no one's in my major, on the team. So I don't really see everyone. And then I come back for practice and I'm like, oh my gosh, so excited. And then I go home and I don't live with any teammates. So it's really fun to just be with everybody 24/7. Yeah, it's definitely fun to switch up and yeah, it's super fun.
Can we just wrap up with me asking you about two of your teammates, Ella Church, Jackie House, dominant performers throughout their time here. Ella's times in the mile just always stunned me how much she is pulling away.
It's a super fun race to watch. I love watching her swim the mile.
How crazy is it when she's just lengths ahead of everybody, 10, 15 seconds ahead of the pack?
Yeah, it's definitely super exciting. But I also know, like, as someone who swam the mile in high school and, like, knowing her mentality, I know that she's pushing herself. It's not like, oh, everyone's behind me, you know, I can chillax, you know. Right. She's going for her own time, focusing on her own personal goals and trying to keep on that pace that is going on in her counter. Her friend Madison will always be like super in with the coaches and like knowing, cause it's kind of interesting for the mile, they have a counter, so they can kind of shake the counter and be like, okay, you need to go faster and things like that. So it's definitely a different race than like in a 2-5 when I have no idea what I'm going. I can hear people screaming, but like they're not screaming like, right, slow down, you're off pace, or go up, you know. It's definitely a really interesting communication to watch them all kind of work together to get Ella to where she needs to be. But yeah, I love watching the mile. I think it's super fun.
What's it like when Ella and Jackie are competing against each other? Because they do swim some of the same races. I know Ella with those distance ones is kind of in that class by herself. But when Ella and Jackie are going against each other, I'm just curious. That's just two powerhouses in the pool at the same time, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely super fun to watch them race. And I know they have a great friendship and relationship. Right. And swim a lot, most of their practice together. I don't swim a lot of practices with them because they're mostly in mid distance freestyle and I'm doing a lot of stroke and other stuff. So it's definitely cool to see the bonds that you create with the people that you swim with a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely fun to watch them have fun behind the blocks and give a little hug when they're finished
dominating.
Right?
Well, Hallie, thank you so much for joining Catamount Insider this week. This was great to catch up with you and great to hear about the season so far. Good luck going forward. Good luck in this next stretch. You guys are going to be grinding. I'll be thinking of you all and looking forward to following along the rest of the year.
Yes, pray for us. Thank you so much.
And thank you again to Hallie for joining us. What a great start to her season she's had. Obviously, we talked a lot about the URI invite where she was a part of the two relay teams that won and then three individual victories as well. She is putting together an outstanding senior campaign. And I talked about it a little bit with her. There are some stars across this roster for the swimmers this season, and the diving teams had a successful start as well. So I know they're really excited and really optimistic about their chances to compete again in the American East Championships come February. But you heard it from Hallie. It is a real grind upcoming for them. And so make sure you stay tuned in to all of their events. They travel to take on UConn today on Saturday. That meet going on as we talk to you. So thanks again to Hallie. We're going to wrap up our show when we return. This is Catamount Insider presented by Milton Catt. Welcome back to Catamount Insider. Just quickly wrapping up our show this week. First off, thanks again to Brad and Hallie for joining us. Obviously, the UVM men's soccer team, good luck to them this weekend as they take on the Pitt Panthers. Hopefully with a win, they'll be headed to the College Cup, the Final Four, some might call it, but they need to beat Pitt today. 3 p.m. start time. You can check it out on ESPN Plus. And thanks again, as I said, to Hallie for filling us in on everything swimming and diving. She's always a real delight to have a chance to sit down and catch up with. And congrats to her for just an outstanding start again to her season. Really fun times for the swimmers and divers. They take on UConn, actually, as we speak, in a matchup over this weekend. A dual meet gets started actually just in a bit at noon today. So thanks again to those two. We'll talk to you at the same time in the same place next week. Catamount Insider is live every Saturday at 9 a.m. on WVMT and on the Varsity Network app. Or if you're catching up with us on your podcast feed, you can always find us here as well. I'm Brian McLaughlin. Talk to you next Saturday with more Catamount Insider presented by Milton Catt.